from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Yuma Proving Ground Chief of Staff Omar Silva has worked in various capacities at Yuma Proving Ground for nearly 20 years. As YPG prepares for a new commander on June 11th, Silva thinks the Proving Ground is well-postured to retain its position at the forefront of Army transformation. We're about to have a change of command here at Yuma Proving Ground, and this is a really exciting time for the mission.
So yeah, absolutely. It is change of command season here at Yuma Proving Ground. Unfortunately, we're going to see Colonel Nelson right off, but we have a new incoming commander and a lot of changes for the Proving Ground, a lot of changes for DOW in general and in the acquisition and testing world. So it's going to be an exciting feature here coming up.
In some respects, it seems to me the test mission now is a lot more interesting, can I say, than what it was even in the hottest and heaviest years of Iraq and Afghanistan. Because back then, we're being very reactive to threat conditions in theater. Now it seems to me we're being proactive. We're thinking about the next 10, 20, 30 years of Army equipment.
Absolutely. So I lived a little bit of that. In 2011, I was part of the Combat and Automotive Group, and we saw a lot of the counter-IED fight in those time frame. And what we're looking at there is a lot of the ground vehicles had to be improved or new vehicles done to protect soldiers and Marines on the ground against counter-IED. And you're right, it was very reactive. I think at some point we had 12 to 15 different variants being tested. Just as soon as anybody could produce something, we would test it for safety and send it downrange. And so that was a big workload, very reactive to what was happening on the ground on the other side of the world. And so this time around, though, now we're looking more at the counter UAS threat. The change here is broader in that it's a change of character of war. Type of change now. Vice, even though we had a big workload back in 2011 timeframe, this change that we're experiencing now is going to be way more significant to the military, not just for us, but militaries across the world. And so Yuma Proving Ground is at the forefront of that. We are designated by the Army and the DOW as the primary test range for counter UAS. We've had a lot of experience that was built up over the years with the counter IED threat, where now that counter IED threat just went airborne, as our technical director Ross likes to say. And so now that that threat is airborne, we have the right expertise, the right folks here, and the know-how to test that. And so of a more proactive change to how we staff up, to how we test this, I think we're definitely postured a lot better than we were before. And I think how we support the DOW and the Army moving forward is going to show that.
Castle Dome Heliport was built in 1959 to support a drone competition, so YPG literally has decades and decades of experience with unmanned aircraft.
Absolutely. And in our vast airspace, our safety culture, how we execute testing, our customer service oriented, we've hosted very big projects for the Army, Project Convergence, Edge, some other big projects that I think have really postured us to be able to support what's coming next. So everything from UAS to counter UAS and everything in between.
UAS have gotten a lot of prominence with Ukraine's experience with Russia the last few years. Some people are writing off artillery a little bit too soon. From what I've seen, 80% of the casualties in the Ukraine conflict were caused by artillery.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are still the artillery's center of excellence place for testing Yuma Proving Ground for the Army. So we see majority of it. One of the things that it's not so much in the news anymore as it used to be, but our stockpiles. We are primary for doing a lot of acceptance testing for artillery and mortar systems. And so even though that's kind of gone away from the headlines a little bit, we're doing a lot of work towards that. But in additionally, the platforms are changing as we're seeing in the conflict in Ukraine. So tow howitzers, that's going to change. It's likely going to go to more of a self-propelled howitzer. And then you got to be looking at, is it a tracked or a wheeled? And so there's plenty of room in that space where we're going to continue being the primary and see a lot of that development here in the next 4 to 5 years in the artillery world. And we'll continue to be that for the Army and the DOW.
For the last 4 or 5 years, YPG leaned really far forward in getting the workforce upskilled in terms of their technical competence, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our commander has invested a good amount of funding to make sure that we upskill and reskill our folks to all the tools that are coming out, not just on the testing side of the house, which is our primary effort. How can we get data to our customers at near real time so they can make decisions, adjust the system under test parameters and test again, and get those decisions and information up quicker than before. You know, think years ago, customer would come out, bring out their entire team, set up, do a test, go home. We get them the data to them later, weeks, maybe months later. They look, they analyze, they say, hey, we got to go back and change this parameter, change that scenario and come back and do it all over again. That took too much time. And so what we've been driving towards is to provide near real-time data where those adjustments can be made right there in the test officer's office box and say, hey, let's pause for 2 hours, analyze, look at the data, adjust, and move out. So we've been doing a lot of that. A couple of teams here have really kind of put points on the board on that. But I'd also say on the business side of the house, you know, we've been forced to kind of optimize across the board. So you take a look at the operations and business and finance systems, personnel systems. I think our team collectively has embraced optimization, machine learning, AI tools, even low code, Power Apps, Power BI, you name it. We are all in to using all those tools to optimize the processes so we can continue delivering what our mission is and making sure that at the end of the day, we provide results and data to decision makers quicker.
YPG has a long history of flexibility and serving the customers, and it sounds like it's going to be that way for some time to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Colonel Nelson, you know, his thing is our workforce is our number one asset, and that is absolutely true. He came here not knowing that, and he quickly saw that, and I'm sure that's going to be passed along to our incoming commander. So at the end of the day, we're able to do that because of the people that we have and the culture that we have. And I'll tell you, Mark, I've been here 19 years or so, and that has been there ever since. And I am 100% confident it's going to continue being there way past our time. That is what YPG is known for, is our people, our flexibility, and just our culture of making things happen when something seems difficult.
Oh, well, it's really good talking to you. Thanks for coming by today.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Mark.
San Luis, Arizona native Rafael Ortiz studied systems engineering at the University of Arizona, never imagining he would become a test officer of ground combat vehicles for the United States Army. How much did you know about Yuma Proving Ground when you were growing up in San Luis?
Not much. I've heard that there was some kind of military installation, but other than that, not very much.
Now, you pursued systems engineering at University of Arizona, the Yuma campus.
Correct. I took all the classes at AWC campus from the UFA. And that's where I graduated back in 2020.
And you first heard of job opportunities at a job fair.
Correct. There was a job fair event at AWC, and that's when I heard the tracks and what they did testing military equipment. That kind of caught my attention. And then when I saw other people that were studying with me in the same classes that were starting getting internships over here, that's when I decided that this looks like a good path.
How did you become a test officer? What all did you have to do to be entrusted with testing this really expensive and inherently dangerous equipment?
Yes, we have very expensive equipment, and it is very dangerous, the things that we do. But once you start, you get familiarized with how the range works, and the different processes that we got to do. And then you got to start working on getting certified on different tests. So every subtest that we do, for example, max speed and acceleration for one vehicle, we got to learn the documents, SOPs, ITOPs, document that explain all the processes that we got to follow, what kind of data we need to collect, what kind of instrumentation we got to collect. Once we study all that, we got to go and see testing. There's somebody else doing it. And then conduct the testing with their supervision. And then we gotta pass a written exam and an oral exam with a panel of SMEs, subject matter experts, on the specific subtest. And that's when you get certified and are able to do all the each different subtest.
The ground combat folks seem like a pretty tight team.
Yes, we're pretty close on the combat and automotive systems. we all get along and help each other.
Can you talk about some of the systems that you've tested over the last 5 years?
So when I first started working, I started with the Abrams, M1, A2 Abrams. And my first test was cybersecurity. I was software and prevent the vehicle from being hacked, basically. And then I moved, still with the Abrams, to radio testing. So testing all the antennas and hardware and software of the radio, working with the software of the vehicle and being able to do voice communication and digital messages across different ranges and testing the quality of those. Right now, I am working with the M10987, the self-propelled howitzer, and I've worked with software tests, navigation tests for this vehicle. Also, getting a vehicle and make sure it meets all the requirements from the customer. Make sure it can accelerate at a certain speed, brake in a certain distance, can drive certain amount of miles without any major issues, fire certain amounts of rounds with no problems, and throughout that process, capturing data on how it performs, any issues that may arise, and collect the data and provide it to the customer according to what the customer is requiring.
Now, we all know the ultimate customers are the soldiers.
Correct.
Do you feel a sense of satisfaction that you're doing something good to help them out?
We just had an event with soldiers, and they got a chance to see the new weapon system we're trying to implement on the vehicle, and they were very satisfied with getting that experience. And it's crazy because you see firsthand where all this is going, because sometimes you do a test and you see numbers on a paper and, okay, test complete, this is the data, passed, and that's it. But when you see the soldiers that are actually working with the system, it makes materialize everything that what you're working towards.
You've been here 5 years. Are you going to stay a little bit longer, do you think?
I think I will stay a little bit longer. There's still, even though I've been here 5 years, there's many things that I still don't know and I'm trying to learn. There's many things going on YPG that I would like to learn more about. I just haven't had the chance. So yeah, I think I still have some time left.
What advice would you give up and coming engineer students who might want to work here someday?
One great advice is that it's okay if you don't know. And make sure to ask questions. Every time you have a doubt, ask questions and try to learn as much as you can from as many people as you can. Some people do things one way, some other people do it a different way, and as it works out. So just pick up what you can from everybody that you're around, ask a lot of questions, and it's okay if you don't know something. Just try to learn it and try to know where to get the information that you need.
Hey, Raphael, it's really good talking to you today.
Thank you, man. I really enjoyed this time.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.